do that here at the end of service. But tonight, let's go ahead and let's just dig into God's Word together. So many times, I think that we often overlook the little things in life. Maybe because they seem super insignificant in the moment. Maybe it's because they didn't stand out enough to capture our attention. But sometimes the little things turn out to have a huge impact in our lives. Sometimes the little things become extremely significant. Sometimes their very presence arrests our attention. And in those moments of life, we cannot afford to refuse to acknowledge even the little things. So tonight, with that thought in mind, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 6. And to start out, we're going to read verses 41 and 42. And then we're going to come to some other scripture and then come back to Luke chapter 6 tonight. But let's begin in Luke chapter 6. Beginning in verse 41 this evening, it says, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye." Now, I want to read that same two passages of this scripture, verse 41 and 42. I want to read that again to you, but I want to read it from the Passion Translation tonight to just give us another little bit of perspective on those verses this evening. It says, "Why do you focus on the flaw in someone else's life and fail to notice the glaring flaws of your own life? How could you say to your friend, 'Here, let me show you where you're wrong,' when you are guilty of even more than he is? You are overly critical, splitting hairs and being a hypocrite. You must acknowledge your own blind spots and deal with them before you will be able to deal with the blind spot of your friend." Now, what we have here is a contrast between specks and planks. That which can be microscopic versus that which is mind-blowingly obvious, all right? And we tend, in our human nature, to focus on the planks, amen? So many times we focus most often on the plank above the speck. And for us, unfortunately, again, somehow we only see the planks in other people's lives and sometimes not the planks in our own lives, just as the scripture alludes to here. But the truth is, it only takes a speck. And tonight, I hope that we can get that, because what I'm not saying tonight is that we all have those glaring planks sticking out of our lives tonight that need to be dealt with. Maybe some of us do. But the truth is, it only takes a speck. It only takes that little tiny bit of something that is out of place to bring pain and impairment to the body. And the truth is that we would never have to worry about planks if we first learned to deal with the issues when they were just that speck size, if you will, tonight. So this past Thursday, while I was cleaning out our garage at home, I got something stuck in my eye. And so this became very real for me this past week, all right? While I could not see that speck myself, I was very well aware of its existence and the effect that it was having in my life, specifically on my eye. And again, like we maybe do in the natural with other things, I just tried to rub the discomfort away, all right? I tried to flush it out. I eventually had Shannon to try to flush it out as well. But again, we had no success. And so I quit attempting to remove the object that was causing me discomfort. And I just decided at that point to live with the discomfort in that moment. But waking up Friday morning, I was very immediately reminded that there was something stuck in my eye. But at that point, again, I still did not deem the discomfort enough to seek more qualified help, if you will, all right? As the day progressed, so did my discomfort. And by Friday night, the discomfort was becoming quite painful. And so that pain and irritation then turned into a restless night. And by Saturday morning, my eye was very sensitive to light, hard to focus, very teary. And again, I just was experiencing a little bit more pressure and difficulty than I had been on that original moment on Thursday. And so a trip to urgent care right after that yielded, unfortunately, no results or relief, because I had waited too long to deal with the issue, and it become further embedded into my eye, and they didn't have the ability to remove it. So that put me in a position of having to wait until Monday to see an eye doctor. Now you're like, all right, Pastor John, great story. But again, my point to all of that is to say this, that we often only recognize the planks and we leave the specks unattended. The trouble with that is unattended specks can grow to become just as damaging as planks can in our lives. You see, the tiny, the microscopic piece of metal that was in my eye quickly became a point of impairment that extended and impacted much more than just my eye. Essentially, it began to cause a schism, if you will, within my physical body. And we see that Paul addresses this in a spiritual context in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as he is teaching the Corinthian church and instructing them on how the church, body of Christ, is designed and how it should be in operation. So tonight, before we get back to Luke chapter 6, I want to highlight some of the passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with you and kind of so that we can get an idea of how the body is supposed to function and operate together. I want to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verses 12 through 14 to start. It says, "Just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all immersed and mingled into one single body. And no matter our status, whether we are Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit. In fact, the human body is not one single part, but rather many parts mingled into one." Let's skip down to verse 18. It says this, "But God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as he desires. A diversity is required, for if the body consisted of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all." Verse 20, "So now we see that there are many differing parts and functions, but one body." Let's wrap this up in verse 25 and 26 tonight. It says, "He has done this intentionally, so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern, and so that there will be no division in the body." Now, that word division, again, if you were to look in other translations, would be the word schism, all right? Verse 26, "In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all." Let's catch that tonight. Whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one suffers, everyone suffers. If one is honored, everyone rejoices. The body of Christ has been designed to look after and care for each other so that there will be no schism within the body, or so that there won't be a point of division or separation or discord or a chance for disharmony or disjointedness within our body. But if we aren't careful, our speck can turn into a schism. Our speck can turn into that point, again, of division or disjointedness. And that impact will go far beyond just ourselves as it begins to affect and impact the entire rest of the body that we are connected to. You see, specks turn into blind spots. Blind spots turn into planks, and planks turn into spiritual blindness, all of which ultimately lead to the impact impairment and the division or the separation within the body of Christ. And again, we know that we're called to harmony, we're called to unity, we're called to care. We are not called to a place of division or separation or discord of any kind. Amen. So Jesus gives us a little insight as to what happens when we don't deal with the specks and planks in our own lives and how they can cause us to react to and to treat the rest of the body of Christ in ways that we should not be treating them. So let's go back a few verses in Luke chapter 6 and let's look at what happens when we refuse to deal with the specks and planks in our lives. We're going to begin tonight in verse 37. It says, Jesus said, "Forsake the habit of criticizing and judging others, and then you will not be criticized and judged in return. Don't look at others and pronounce them guilty, and you will not experience guilty accusations yourself. Forgive over and over, and you will be forgiven over and over." And hopefully we, at that point, we can all say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Looking at verse 38, it goes on to say, "Give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top." Now catch this. Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. So again, what we sow, we will reap. Now, when we don't deal with the specks and the planks in our lives, we become defensive, all right? And we can, right now, we can take that a little offensively, but really, we're just being defensive, all right? We begin to look outward rather than inward. And again, that is when things kind of start to spiral out of control or downward. Because even though we have become impaired, even though we are clearly dealing with something on an individual or internal basis, so many times we want to press that and place that on other people. And so we do. We become very defensive when we know that we're dealing with a speck or a plank or a blind spot in our own lives. So from this posture or position of defensiveness, we then begin to criticize and judge everyone and everything around us, just as we see verse 37 allude to. If we go on, Romans kind of gives us a little extra insight on that element of being critical and judgmental. If we look at Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says this, "No matter who you are, before you judge the wickedness of others, you had better remember this, you are also without excuse." Now, again, that goes for all of us this morning or this evening, because again, the very first part of that scripture says, no matter who you are, all right, no exceptions. It says, "You are also without excuse, for you too are guilty of the same kind of things. When you judge others and then do the same things they do, you condemn yourself." Romans 14 and 13 goes on to say this, "So stop being critical and condemning of other believers, but instead determine to never deliberately cause a brother or sister to stumble and fall because of your actions." And again, I think we need to cling to those scriptures and put those scriptures in practice for our everyday life in friendships and relationships that we have. Amen. You see, simply becoming critical and judgmental isn't the complete end result of refusing to deal with our spiritual blind spots, because what we see is that in that vein or that spirit of being critical and judgmental, there are some other things that begin to show up. There's other ways that our life then begins to impact other people's lives. And one of the ways is that it begins to impact what we speak over or about other people. If we go back to verse 37, it says, "Don't look at others and pronounce them guilty." And to pronounce them guilty basically means that we're speaking a negative or an ill judgment over their lives because of something that we feel. And so we, again, we know then that changes how we talk or how we speak about others. And again, we're not to place that type of criticism over our brothers and sisters. We're supposed to place care over them. The second thing that it does is it begins to impact our ability to forgive others. The more that we find ourselves being critical and judgmental, the more that we're speaking negativity over other people, we find ourselves then in a position to where we kind of begin to develop that spirit of unforgiveness. It says in verse 37, forgive over and over, and you will be forgiven over and over. And so we know tonight that, again, it's a matter of reaping what we sow. And sometimes what happens in these moments is when that criticism and being judgmental seems to take over our hearts and lives in that moment of defensiveness, because we can't get rid of or address our own issues, we kind of tend to add into that unforgiveness. The third thing that we see is kind of highlighted in verse 38, and that is our desire and motive for generosity. It says, your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. And so a lot of times, again, when we become defensive and critical and judgmental, and when we're speaking negatively over others, when we have that sense or feeling or spirit of unforgiveness, what that does is that also shuts up our, quote, bowels of compassion, if you will. And so the desire and the motive to be generous to those who are around us begins to basically dry up. You see, eventually the specks, the blind spots, the planks, they all turn into full-blown spiritual blindness, which Jesus paints the picture of in kind of verse 39 and verse 40. So let's read on in Luke chapter 6 tonight. Verse 39 says, Jesus also quoted these proverbs. What happens when a blind man pretends to guide another blind man? They both stumble into a ditch. And how could the apprentice know more than his master? For only after he is fully qualified will he be at that level. You see, there comes a point where in our blindness, we become no good to ourselves or to those who may be hurting, broken, and impaired around us. What happens is we kind of become the blind leading the blind, as Jesus said. You see, a broken Christian can't effectively reach a broken soul in need of Christ. A broken church can't effectively reach a broken world in need of Christ. So what is the solution for us tonight? I think that we have to learn to deal with our specks. We have to learn to deal with our blind spots and our planks and our spiritual blindness up front. We can't allow them to become embedded and infected into our lives, because again, that just creates a greater issue for us and for those around us. Let's go back to Luke chapter 6 and verse 42, where we kind of started tonight. Again, it says, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Again, I want to read the Passion Translation of just that last part. It says, you must acknowledge your own blind spots and deal with them before you will be able to deal with the blind spot of your friend. Again, before we do anything else, our first step tonight should always be to remove the issue or issues within our own life that are causing us to experience spiritual blind spots. Now, this requires self-examination, as we see here in verse 42. It requires us taking a moment of careful examination of our own behavior and beliefs, making sure that there's consistent harmony between them and that our beliefs and our behaviors haven't become separated. You see, it requires us tonight to take a moment of introspection where we examine our own thoughts and feelings. Again, if everybody else is wrong, if everybody else is broken, if everybody else is the issue, the odds are it's not everybody else. The odds are there's something in our life that we need to get dealt with. There's something in our life that we need to be surrendering to the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit, again, to just draw that out of our lives, so that whatever it is that's irritating us, causing that impairment or that infection, can be dealt with and we can experience healing. Again, we're encouraged in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40. It says, let us test and examine our ways. Again, we're not looking at what other people are doing. We're not looking at how much they need counseling or how much they need help. We're looking and examining, we're testing our ways, our position, where we're at. And it goes on to say, and return to the Lord. Again, we need to examine where we're at. And if we're not in that appropriate proximity to where Christ is, then we need to get closer to him. We need to return through repentance, through reconciliation. We need to be able to understand that, hey, I'm not as close to him as I need to be. And so we need to, in that moment, draw closer to him. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, but let every person carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct and his own work. He can then have the personal satisfaction and joy of doing something commendable without boastful comparison with his neighbor. Again, it's not looking at what everybody else is doing. And at home, it's not looking about where your spouse is at. It's not even necessarily looking at where your children are at. It's making sure first and foremost that you are good. It's making sure that you're positioned where you need to be with the Lord. Again, it's not about what is in your neighbor's life. It's not about what's in your spouse's life. It's not even about what's in your kids' or your grandkids' life. Again, regardless of the size of what we determine it to be, all right? What matters most is that we focus on what is in our life and that we focus on allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us so that we can be free from all spiritual blind spots in our lives. And that doesn't mean that we will never come up against another blind spot. It doesn't mean that we may not ever have a moment to where there is a speck in our eye or a plank in our life. But what it means is as those things come and as those things are discovered, as the Holy Spirit reveals them to us, let's take care of them up front so that we avoid the impairment, that we avoid the infection. You see, because only then are we qualified and better able to help a lost soul or another member of the body find their way to the healing or the deliverance, the freedom, the repentance, the reconciliation that they need or whatever it is that they may be in need of from the Lord. Again, we can't afford to be the church who is the blind leading the blind. We need to be the healed leading the broken. Amen? You see, before we criticize someone else, let's first critique ourselves. Before we pass judgment on others, let's make sure that we are in right standing with the Lord. Before we speak a negative report over someone else, let's make sure that we've taken the time to speak with the Lord in prayer and that there's nothing standing between him and us in that moment. Again, if we all take care of our individual blind spots first, we will be healthier members who collectively comprise a more healthy and effective body. Amen. You see, tonight, part of caring for others is first caring enough to fix what is broken in us. I want to say that again tonight so that I know we hear it. Part of caring for others is caring enough to fix what is broken in us first, because when we are spiritually healthy, we are better able and better equipped to help others find that spiritual help and wellness that they themselves need. So as we move forward in faith, let us strive to take care of our spiritual blind spots immediately so that they don't live or so that they don't cause us to live in an impaired spiritual life. So that, again, we never create or become, again, that schism, that division, that disjointedness within the body of Christ. Amen.